Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Welcome, everyone. I am Dr. Tommy Watson. Welcome to Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity to go and live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the Programs and Products tab and click on Million Dollar Business to get yourself started. Are you guys ready for another amazing story and show today? All right. Joining me, I have Dr. Courtney Hollinsworth. Doc, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome. How are you doing today?
I am great. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. Hey, Dr. Courtney, can you introduce yourself to the audience and let us know any latest that's going on with you before we go into our interview?
I am working on a book for those of you that are really wanting to change your life or really take some steps and don't know how to get there or what to do. We want some motivation. You might not have the support. I'm creating something that no one has done before to be able to get people to a place where they have never been. So we're definitely going to be giving some challenges in this book and definitely doing blogs and actually doing speaking engagements. So that's my next couple of steps.
That's what I'm talking about. What's the name of your book?
I can't say right now.
I tried to get the name of the book yet
until it's coming out. But you will definitely be the first person that I let know.
And folks,
Once it comes out, you will definitely be able to. You're definitely going to be. I'm going to send you a copy because it's definitely something you've never seen.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Now, you guys heard her say that I was going to be the first to know the name, all right?
Yes.
We'll hold her to that, all right?
Absolutely.
So Dr. Courtney has an amazing story. I'm not going to go into it. I'm going to let her tell her story, though. But Dr. Courtney, let's start with the first question is, before I go to the question, the purpose of our podcast is really to kind of take people deeper into stories of amazing people like yourselves and have them talk about some of the things that they did to overcome obstacles, though. So, this will be another episode. You have an amazing story and can't wait to hear how you overcame some of the obstacles to become Dr. Courtney Hollinsworth. All right. So with that being said, first question, Dr. Courtney, what has been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome personally or professionally?
I almost died. Mm. I was in a car accident and I was very ill and did not know it. Mm. And was rushed to the hospital and was actually ended up being in the hospital for 2 weeks.
Wow. So tell us more. How did that end up becoming a challenging circumstance for you?
I didn't know that I had been, having different symptoms. And a lot of times I wasn't paying attention to my body because just like a lot of us, we work so much and we just put it to the side. And I was told that I was a diabetic. My sugar was actually 800. And I was told that I had high blood pressure. I never knew I had any of those issues. And I already had character conus from the time I was a child where my cornea is pointed versus round. And so when your sugar gets close to 200, your cornea actually swells. And that's a lot of things that they don't talk about with health. With sugar diabetes, it affects so many different parts of your body. And there are certain things with symptoms. And a lot of times, if you're getting your eyes checked regularly, they can tell you you're diabetic before you even have blood work done just because of what it does to your eyes.
Wow.
So I almost ran into a bridge and almost died going to work.
Wow.
With my sugar at 800.
Wow. So your diabetic situation caused the accident?
Yes, I was completely, when your cornea swells, you have like this white foam, like a fuzz that comes over your eyes. You can't really see. Sometimes we feel like, either my allergies or you feel like, you kind of having this blurred moment where you feel sleepy and it's like a little white fog. Wow. That's actually from diabetes. Wow. Your cornea is swelling and it changes your vision.
Wow. So did you know you were diabetic prior to this situation there?
Never was. Never notified. Really? I had blood work, had gone to the doctor regularly. Just like everyone else does, you know, the once a year checkup, and you make sure you go back for follows if you're sick, things like that. Never.
Wow. That's interesting. And wow, that's a shocker. So once you found out from the doctors that you were a diabetic, what were some of the feelings and emotions that you had to kind of deal with?
I remember waking up in the bed and the doctor says, Dr. Hollingsworth, how long have you been a diabetic? And I looked at him, I said, excuse me.
Wow.
He said, how long have you been a diabetic? I said, I've never been a diabetic, you know? And he said, well, you will be for the rest of your life. Get used to taking medication.
Wow.
And it was like, I just felt my spirit die. It was like a death for me because, I had watched my best friend found out she was a diabetic in high school. And I can remember her having to go away for an entire month while they regulated her sugar. And my dad had to have a kidney transplant all from complications of diabetes.
Wow.
So for me at that age, I immediately was like, I'm dying. Like because that was one of the things. For me, it was looking at all of the people who've had to have toes cut off because of circulation, thinking about all of the complications that can come with diabetes. So for me, it was like a death.
Wow.
Like he basically was giving me a death notice and I had an expiration date.
Yes. Wow. Thank you for being transparent about that. And thank you for sharing your story as well. So as you were going through this process of learning that you were a diabetic, what coping mechanisms did you kind of get yourself involved in to kind of get beyond the hurdle of what you were feeling?
I called my best friend because I was with her when she found out she was a diabetic. We were at a health fair in high school. I called her and she told me, she said, you're going to have to do something because you don't want diabetic complications.
Wow.
This is not what you want. And I can remember talking to her and she was in a hospital a couple of days later after I had spoken with her. And I remember saying, okay, Courtney, you got one of two choices. You can either live or either you can die.
Wow.
But you're too young to die and you're just starting to live. I had literally just gotten my PhD and I was not ready to just give up.
Yeah.
I worked too hard for it.
Yeah.
So that's where my mindset went. And I went and prayed and I talked to God. And I said, God, I'm just praying to be able to make the right move to be able to make a difference and not have myself with an expiration date like on my forehead. I literally felt like an expired food when they told me. But I was so scared of giving myself needles because they put me on insulin and things like that. I was scared of needles. So I was driving to Walgreens 3 times a day. For the pharmacist to stick me and take my sugar and to be able to give me insulin.
Wow. Three times a day?
They were having to check my sugar 3 times a day. You have to check it, especially when it's being regulated, because they need to find out what your pattern is. They need to see what your sugar is before you eat and things of that nature. So I was having to check it at least 3 times a day, and I actually had to document it. You actually have a diabetic calendar where they have what time you checked it and what your glucose levels actually were.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty intensive.
So yes.
You were doing that. Anything else what else did you do to kind of cope with this situation?
I literally started researching.
Okay.
I started researching everything about diabetes. I started researching and I actually reached out to a doctor, which was amazing because when I was in the hospital that second week, God bless me, and my brother's best friend from childhood, from Laurel, his name is Dr. Scott Timms. He actually was over the emergency room of the hospital I was in.
Oh, really? Wow.
Immediately, he hadn't seen me in years, and immediately when he found out it was me, he said, that's my sister. And everybody in that emergency room and at the hospital completely changed how they were treating me.
Wow.
He watched me every day he was at work. He made sure that everything was done for me. And he took the time to really say, look, you can overcome this. You can do this. And introduced me to the right doctors, to a specialist, because it's very important when you have diabetes to know who those top specialists are, because the ones that I worked with was the one that really knew about, like, we don't know about metformin. There are two different forms of metformin. You have the regular version of metformin and you have extended release forms of metformin. And a lot of times I even asked my dad the same question. I said, well, Dad, did you take metformin? He was like, yes. And he said, all they're going to do is increase your metformin every time. They're going to increase it. Well, the specialist taught me about metformin. And she said, if you get the extended release, it releases it throughout the day. So you're not having to up the amount of metformin you're having to take. So those are the things that when you really have the right people in place, you have to learn all of those.
Yes. Wow. That's amazing. And the fact that you're the doctor that was over the hospital you were at was a family friend. That was even even more spectacular. You know, so as you were going through this process, were there any mentors or guides that you had kind of helping you through this process?
Honestly, it was honestly God. After Scott was in the emergency room, he connected me with a number of people. Mm-hmm. And the doctor he connected me with a nutritionist. Mm-hmm. And the nutritionist connected me with a specialist who does food prep. And I have a best friend from Jamaica who is a chef.
Wow.
And I contacted him. We had been in contact from when I studied years ago. We had stayed in contact. And he was actually in school, you know, to actually become a full-time chef. He had been cooking for years. Mm-hmm. And so I actually took the time. And honestly, I went through, this is the reason I'm writing the book. I went through every diabetic book you can possibly think of.
Wow.
I went through every diet journal you can possibly think of to see, okay, what is it that they're actually giving me that can actually help me in the time that I needed it the most? It wasn't there.
Wow. Really?
So I knew then that I had to take this chance and I needed to create what was not there for me for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, no, there was no mentor. There was no one saying, my best friend was saying, you need to do something.
Yeah.
This is not what you want. I'm looking at my father and seeing the mistakes that they made with him. Those were basically my guidelines.
Wow.
So this is what you don't want
to
do.
Wow. So what did you end up creating for yourself to overcome that obstacle?
Okay. I started looking at what they were saying about diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
I started looking at, I have two sisters that have autoimmune diseases. Yeah. So I started then looking at the genetics and what were the similarities with those diseases and what my father had and what I had as symptoms. And I started coming up with what was going on genetically in the body. Wow. So then I started talking to my doctor and I started realizing that African-Americans have a low D3 level. And I don't know if people understand what D3 actually does to your body,
what
but it's
D3?
A very important vitamin. It's a very important vitamin that a lot of times people don't get tested for unless you request to be tested for your vitamin D level.
Okay. Wow.
And in diabetics and people who are very ill, normally your vitamin D3 levels are very, very low. Hmm. When they tested my vitamin D3 levels, it was almost, my doctor told me it was almost not being able to even be recognized. It was so low.
Wow.
And come to find out, that's actually how one of my sisters ended up with MS. Her D3 levels were very, very low. So I started researching the things that were actually similar into the different things that have been going on with my family. And then I started researching what actually lowers blood pressure and lowers sugar, diabetes. And I started putting it together. And with that, I started looking at research that actually, because that's what my background is, I started researching and finding out what I could do to try to lower it naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked with the nutritionist. She worked with me. We worked with the food prep. They then talked to me about a juicing documentary. So I started then researching juicing. So I started learning about part of the reason that a lot of times, especially with type 2 diabetes, which was the type that I had, I didn't have a genetic, which is type 1. I started researching and finding out that I had type 2, and a lot of that comes from the food that we eat.
Sure.
Which is very important. And what happens is a lot of times we crave things not knowing what our body is really needing. So we eat things that are what we feel like is the taste versus what our body is really reaching out for. And so that's also going to be in the book. When you're craving this, this is what your body is actually needing. And so I started learning about the juicing, started learning about how to reduce inflammation, how to stop headaches, how to lower your sugar, things you can do to your body when your blood pressure is up, and ways that you can position your body and literally can drop your blood pressure. And that's the reason they actually have you do certain things in the hospital. So working with specialists to be able to talk to them about things they had, you know, been dealing with other clients as well. I was able to literally go from, I was a person that didn't eat vegetables. You couldn't put a vegetable on my plate. I hated anything green, anything that was colorful. I loved meat and potatoes and bread. and I went from that to being a person who completely changed her diet. I started juicing, and I juiced. At first, I was like, this is not going to work. This is not going to happen. But one of the things that I've always loved was watermelon. And watermelon, for a lot of people, that you like, might like that watermelon taste. And I realized that whenever I put the watermelon in there with vegetables, I couldn't taste the vegetables. I just tasted the watermelon. So, I started creating the juice, and, I literally for an entire month, I juiced, and I walked. And I used to be in show choir in high school. And so I started doing my show choir routines from high school in my house. And then I would walk the neighborhood. And so that's how I started. And the next thing I knew, within a month's time, I had gotten down. I was down 50 pounds.
In a month's time.
I literally, my food intake went to, because if you start to read the amount that you're taking in, if you're taking in about 1,000 calories a day, your body can't maintain the heavy weight that it does. So you really have to look at what you're taking in. And a lot of times we make excuses. Oh, I'm just eating a hamburger and some french fries. But yeah, you may be just eating a hamburger and some french fries. That might have been what you had all day. But the number of calories that's in those hamburgers and french fries could literally be the amount that one person could be eating all day, having three or four meals. So as a diabetic, I was, because I was going through that process, I was having to check my sugar more times a day. Because I had to learn, my pattern was exactly like my father's that we found out later, because I had to know the times that my sugars was going to drop. That would be the time where I could drink something that was a little sweeter. The times that my sugar is would normally increase, I would drink nothing but vegetables. I was not drinking anything that had high sugars, like strawberries. And that would be the times I wouldn't put watermelon in my juice. It would be all vegetables. And so I had to learn my own pattern, which is very important for diabetics, because if you're having to learn your pattern, you're having to learn how your body works, which is very important. And as you go, you start to realize that you've had that pattern all your life. You just didn't know it.
Well, that's pretty amazing. You know, when I think about your story, I know a little bit about your story. I'm trying not to give it up for a lot of folks out there. Would you be willing to tell us what your weight was at its highest?
It was 329 pounds.
Wow. That's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. You got it down. And, you know, so, you know, as you think about this journey here, Dr. Courtney, how do you think this journey has changed you as a person?
You know, I've accomplished, God had blessed me to accomplish things at a very young age. I was always the youngest in every group. I was winning awards and traveling and doing things at an early age that, you know, people can only imagine. Like I would be in a group of people that, you know, I mean, I would be in my teens and 20s. But I realized that none of that mattered. You know, the biggest award that I could ever give myself was being happy and being healthy. And for me, that was then the thing that I knew that nobody could compromise for me. If you put my health at risk, that was for me the end game. So it changed me by really recognizing that it doesn't matter what things you have or mm-hmm. the things that you accomplish, because at any point in time when you're sick, you could die.
Yes.
And all of that is gone, you know? And so for me, it changed how I lived. I was a very introverted person before when I was plus size. I was very introverted, working all the time. And even though I was traveling, I really was not enjoying every aspect of when I traveled.
Mm-hmm.
Now I am very, very much, I'm going to do everything. Like, there's not too much I won't try. I'm literally, I love parasailing. I love swimming with dolphins and turtles. And, I love being able to swing out from things and being on the beach. Like, it's, I just love to just be able to live life.
Yes. That is absolutely amazing. And it sounds like the amount of research you did, you could have become a medical doctor, not just a PhD. You could have been a medical doctor, you know?
Absolutely. Honestly, the documentation that I kept, yes, because my doctor tells me all the time when I come in her office now, she's like, she's been my doctor since I was actually in high school. And she was like, people really would not have believed. If I was not here, I wouldn't have believed it myself.
Really?
The research, yes, the research that I had to do and watching all of the information was there because I had to do it because nobody had it. Wow. Nobody was there for me. That was not something that's being taught. You know, I went to the diabetic classes, you know, after coming out of hospital, I cried all the way through it. Sure. But I went to the classes where they're teaching you, this is your glucose. These are the things you need to eat. These are the things you don't need to eat. I went to all of those courses. Mm-hmm. I listened to all of the stuff on YouTube. I researched the stuff. They're not giving you the meat, they're giving you the bones.
Yes.
But you need the meat. You need to know this is something that you can take on, that you can change.
Wow.
So though that was the option, you know, that they're not giving you that. It's like they're treating the disease, but you're not really treating the problem.
Yes. You know, and that's fascinating to hear, because I'm at a place now where this year I'm taking on a new New Year's resolution again to eat healthier. But I'm
Yeah,
absolutely. Right. I met my nutritionist this morning.
Okay.
And, you know, just discovering all the stuff that I'd never even considered when it came around food, you know, and that's as African Americans, sometimes we just eat, we have great right. food, but we don't necessarily know the ins and outs of what things are good for us to eat and things that we shouldn't be eating. So I'm also looking forward to your book. I'm excited about hearing about it as well, reading and hearing more about it as well. As you look back over your journey, Dr. Courtney, what would you do differently?
I think I would have been more open from the beginning, but I wasn't, because like you, I was embarrassed. I wasn't supposed to be the person who was in a hospital bed, not knowing what direction to go.
Sure.
You know, we go to school, we do different things that we're supposed to know the direction we're supposed to be in.
Yes.
But when you go to that point where you're the person who now needs that help, I would have literally been more open about it from the beginning.
Yeah.
So I definitely would have changed that.
That is awesome. So Dr. Courtney, we have a lot of folks out there who may be dealing with challenges, whether it be health, weight, family, finances, coming off a really tough 2020. What piece of advice would you give them to stay encouraged, to overcome those obstacles, and to go on to live their best life? What would you tell them right now, those folks out there who are dealing with some type of challenges that they face either currently or from this past year? What would you tell them?
Take every piece of hurt that you have, that part of you that you feel you can no longer go forward, that fight that you feel is completely down. It even takes energy to not fight. Mm. It actually takes more energy. You have to take all of that and put it in a place and make it your anger, make it your disappointment.
Yeah.
So that you can use that negative energy to be able to turn that into positive energy. you know, like engineers do? Are you looking at the electric company? You need every piece of energy that you have to be able to change wherever it is that you are, because it's easily changeable. You have to use every piece of that. And I guarantee you, you'll be unstoppable.
Wow. That's awesome advice. Let's give Dr. Courtney Hollingsworth a round of applause. Great advice. Doc, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I am on Facebook, Kayworth. I am on Instagram. It's Kayworth189 because that's the amount of weight that I lost.
Wow. You guys hear that? 189 pounds. Amazing.
So I am literally all the time, you're going to get a response back. Yes, I talk to people. And a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, is that I talk to people. I love people. I'm from Mississippi. I'm a Southern girl. I talk to people. I try to inspire people. I literally travel a lot. I literally do a lot of community service. That is my passion. I love people. And so being able to talk to me, I'm the easiest person to talk to. I'm very real. I'm going to be very brutally honest because I think that's something that we're not doing, especially during the last 2020. We talked about pre-existing conditions. It's time for us to be able to reverse some of the things that have happened.
Yes. Very inspiring. Great words. So, Dr. Courtney, we talked about some things around resiliency. You want to be ready to have some fun now?
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to have some fun now. So what we're going to do now, this part of the segment of the podcast is called a rapid fire purpose questions. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to give our audience a chance to learn a little bit more about you.
Okay.
You need some water? Or are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Dr. Courtney, tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
From losing the weight, that made me challenge and really step out of my comfort zone and go after the career that I wanted. I moved across the country now, in the DMV area, Washington, D.C. And it made me completely change the way that I was living and gave me the confidence to be able to step out and do what I really desired to do.
Awesome. What gives your life meaning?
Love.
If money wasn't an issue for you, what would you do with your time?
Community service my entire life.
What word best describes you?
That's a good question. I would say excited. Okay. Or exciting.
Okay, I like it. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Health issues.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Oh, honestly, being an investigator.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
Spend with my parents.
Okay. What did your 15-year-old self imagine you would be doing right now?
An entrepreneur.
Okay. If you had to teach something, what would you teach?
How to survive during hard times. But I want to teach young people what they need to know in the workplace, things that they're not prepared for.
Okay. Who inspires you the most?
That's kind of a toss up. It's between my mom and my dad, but I'm going to say my parents.
Okay. Good answer. You don't want to make them mad. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's something about yourself that we might be surprised to learn about you?
I'm scared of greens.
You said again?
I've turned up greens and things like that. I've always been scared of growing up. My grandmother scared me when I was a child. So I'm definitely scared of greens.
Scared of greens. There you go, Dr. Courtney. Okay. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
I definitely, hopefully if COVID is up, we're going to do a girls weekend. And we want to do a girls weekend in another country.
Awesome. What's something you'll spend time doing no matter what?
praying.
Okay. What would you like your grandchildren to say about you?
That I was fun and and better than their parents.
A little competition there. There you go.
Yes.